You and me and BPD. Episode 16, self-doubt. So, like many millennials and Gen Zers and just people around today, I live with a lot of, you know, self-doubt and self-esteem issues and just overwhelming ennui about trying to figure out who I am, why I am the way I am, and how I can continue to exist in this world that doesn't seem to be made for me. One of the reasons why I started this podcast was because I was finding that I was talking about my mental health on my Instagram page for quite a while now. I think if you go back to 2017 or 2018, I've been talking about it. But I just felt like people weren't understanding, or that I couldn't get the words out. And so I started this podcast, and it's been nearly a year of topics and episodes and getting messages from you guys, and it's all honestly been amazing. But it's also been one of the most triggering things when it comes to me debating about what I want to say and how I want to say it and what it is that I actually want to be doing with this podcast. I mean, I get messages from people and they're like, oh my gosh, you've helped me so much, and you know, I really appreciate the fact that I found this podcast, and I think that's great because that's ultimately what I wanted. But it also creates this fear that, you know, I'm lying to everyone. And imposter syndrome is a really real thing. If you've never heard about it, the idea is that we feel like we're living a lie. And it's not just a mental health term, it's kind of a millennial term. It's kind of something that has been brought up in terms of getting jobs and feeling like an adult. And it's kind of this idea that a lot of us don't feel like we are mature enough, or that we're adult enough, or that we are, in general, just enough. We feel like there's something missing from us, like we're lying to the world. And I think with borderline personality specifically, that kind of imposter syndrome feeling is intensified like 1,000 times over. When you look at kind of what the key elements of borderline personality is these feelings of, you know, intense emptiness, or feelings of self-esteem issues. It's, you know, switching from one mindset to the next, or feeling out of body because you're dissociating, or you're having or experiencing depersonalization, which is something that I experience quite often, and I've talked about it a couple of different times. But I experience a lot of feeling like I am not me. And like, I don't even know who me is. And it's scary because I want to appear to be a specific way. And I want to appear like I have kind of my head on my shoulders. And I get told a lot, and I have ever since I was a kid, that, you know, I'm really mature and I have very good self-awareness. Like, when I first started going to therapy, my therapist was like, well, you know what's wrong with you. You know what's going on. Like, I have this tendency to be extremely self-critical and self-analyzing. And I really like that aspect about me. I think that it's something that makes me. But it also creates this kind of fear that, you know, no one is going to understand me. That maybe I'm too crazy. And I think when it comes to self-doubt especially, it comes across in so many ways. it comes across with feeling inferior to others, to constantly comparing myself to others. I mean, like, I had such horrible self-esteem issues when I was growing up, and now that I'm 28, I'm gonna be 29 this summer. I mean, like, I even think I posted about this on Instagram yesterday. Like, I was saying that, like, I thought that I would get to a point where I wouldn't have these self-esteem issues, where I wouldn't be self-criticizing, where I wouldn't be comparing myself to other people. And that point hasn't come yet. And it's really hard to continue to kind of live this life where I do have to, at least somewhat, I do have to have some sort of idea of who I am. And I think it's really hard, especially with borderline personality, because my brain is constantly shifting through different timelines of, like, what my life could be. Like, one of the things I do, and I do this nearly every day, is I learn about something, like a job or a craft or a technique or whatever, and I go, like, oh, I could do that. And the thing is that I could, right? Like, I know logically I could do it. Will I? No. Like, will I actually start, for instance, will I actually start getting up early? Am I gonna be somebody who gets up early and goes to the gym? No. Like, that's not gonna happen. But am I going to be somebody who's sitting there being like, oh, I should do this, I should do that? Like, it's almost like this sense of these expectations that I place on myself, that I have placed on myself for a really long time. And as I get older, as I get, you know, the time to be self-reflective, I'm realizing that, like, a lot of these expectations were built off of things that I didn't even tell myself. And I think that's the thing about borderline personality disorder, which is so often misunderstood, is one of the key causes to it. And I know there's lots of different reasons why people believe that it exists and how it manifests and all this different stuff. But one of the key things is that you are a person who is more sensitive to the world, just emotionally and mentally and even physically. And you take this emotional person and you put them in a childhood or in a situation when they were a child where their emotional needs and their just needs in general were not being met. A lot of the time, a lot of us deal with neglect from childhood. We deal with trauma from childhood. And we deal with expectations that were placed on us at a very young age to be, you know, the supporters, or to be the person that held it all together. In my own experience, I experienced a lot of that. I was an only child. I was alone a lot as a child. I remember spending lots and lots and lots of time by myself creating, you know, make-believe and pretending that I was someone different because my life was so emotionally unfulfilling that I created instances, I created daydreams that seemed so real to me. And I'm sure if I could go back, it would be signs of psychosis that nobody paid attention to. But that's a whole other topic. But anyways, so I was programmed from a young age to daydream, to make believe, to imagine different possibilities for my life. And the other thing too is I've always known that I was different, but I didn't know what different meant. I always knew that there was something strange about me, that I felt things too intensely, that when I made friends, I considered them to be family, like that I form relationships to people very, very quickly. I always knew this. And I could realize that within myself, but I just didn't have the words to explain it. And so now I'm an adult, and this lockdown makes me spend time by myself. And, you know, there's friends that I've lost over the past couple of years. people that I thought I would be very close to for a very long time. And now I'm sitting back and realizing that, like, this kind of daydreaming and coming up with different scenarios for my life is actually not the healthiest thing. It's a coping mechanism that I learned when I was younger to deal with the emotional trauma and basically neglect that I was feeling. But it kind of now makes it even harder as an adult to figure out, well, what do I want to do? And that's the other thing, is that, like, on the one hand, I have people who tell me, like my lovely husband, who tell me it doesn't matter what you do, do whatever you want. And it's like, but when whatever I want is 50,000 different things, it's hard to do whatever I want. And then on top of that, because your brain is always racing and it's always jumping from one thing to the next, I can find something and I can be like super into it. And then I can just not, and I can just not care anymore. And I so quickly fall into this apathetic kind of self-doubting voice that says, well, I may as well not try. I may as well not make any decisions. In fact, I won't. I will just keep on doing the same thing I've been doing, and I will keep on surviving. And it's hard with this podcast, even this, to sit down and to talk about it, because I don't want to put out the impression that, you know, I have everything figured out, because I don't. And if you think I do, you're wrong. Like, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but like, I'm not somebody who has it all figured out. In fact, I have a lot of problems. But the thing is that they're not really problems. And I think that's why it's so hard, because for me, I have a lot of understanding of why I do things I do. And because I'm so self-reflective, I have so many kind of perspectives in my mind of like, well, this is because of this, this is because of this. So I don't have a lot of problems with having BPD. And for a lot of people, I think when they listen to their doctors and their therapists and stuff telling them, you know, statistics, or telling them how hard it is going to be for them to, you know, continue having good relationships or friendships or having kids or getting married or whatever it is, I think a lot of people start to buy into the idea that with BPD you're never going to be happy. And with the last episode, when I was talking about reframing things, it's not that you're not going to be happy. You're going to experience some of the highest highs ever, but you're going to experience it in a different way. And it might not be the same as other people. And it's so interesting, because it's like, my self-doubt doesn't come from necessarily wanting to be somebody else. It just comes from the availability of the possibilities of what I could be compared to who I am. And I think that's a really big thing that all of us need to spend time thinking about. So I've seen a lot of people talking about how BPD is so hard, and, you know, the constant shifting is super hard, and the self-esteem issues are super hard, and all of that's valid. It is, like, I'm not trying to downplay it, but I think we also need to be talking about how BPD is one of the only kind of mental illnesses that really truly allows you to experience the spectrum of human emotions and human existences. Like, you're going to experience some of the lowest of lows, and you're going to experience some of the highest of highs, and most of the time you're probably going to be in the middle. Like, I spend a lot of my time not feeling anything, and for a long time I thought that was bad, and I would be chasing highs and I would be chasing, you know, thrills and stuff. And when I used to drink a lot, that was a really big reason why I drank, was because I was like, I'm gonna get drunk tonight. Yes, I'm gonna have an awesome time. I'm gonna go out with my friends. I'm gonna listen to music. I'm gonna dance. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna hook up with this person. All that different stuff. But it was this thrill seeking, this kind of needing something to fulfill me, to give me something that I felt was so lacking in my life. When in reality, I'm realizing as I get older that it's okay to be in the middle. That actually, sometimes experiencing the highs and sometimes experiencing the lows, but being pretty nonchalant about a lot of life is what is helping me. And I don't know if that makes sense. But one of the things that I think is just really important to ask yourself is, like, who are you? And not just who do you want to be? Because that's where the self-doubt comes in for me, and that's where the self-esteem issues come in for me, is making, like, long-term plans. Like, I used to be somebody, and I still am sometimes, I used to be somebody who would have like a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a like goals for my life. And that would stress me the fuck out because I was like, I'm never going to reach those. I don't know how to. And so one of the things that kind of helped me, and my husband and I did it a couple of years ago, and I think we should definitely do it again, but was to sit down and to just put ourselves into like bullet points of just like what makes up this human being and what are a few of the key traits that I can hold on to. So for instance, I'm Steph, right? And I labeled myself like Steph the Rebel. And it's not because I want to be. Like, I don't want to be somebody that struggles. I don't want to be somebody that constantly deals with this franticness in my head. It's just who I am. And the more that I realize that that's just how I exist in this world, the more capable I am of talking about that and coming to terms with it and realizing that maybe it truly is that the world is not built for somebody like me. Maybe the society is not built for somebody like me. And by doing that, by having that kind of clear distinction between what is it that I'm expecting myself to be, what is it that is put on my shoulders, what is the expectations of what I believe that people want me to be, and how can I actually just find out who I am. So one of the ones was Steph the Rebel. I don't want to be a rebel, but when I look at the things that are important to me, like speaking up for what is right, making sure that I am being compassionate to people, even in the face of hate, making sure that I am speaking up for animal rights and animal justice, those things are kind of countercultural, and those are kind of rebellious in nature. Like, I'm a pacifist, and I don't want to fight you. I don't want to. I will if I have to defend myself, but I don't want to. It's not something I want to do. I don't want to, you know, be somebody who just has like a 9-to-5 job. Like, who? I don't want to do that. I'm sure there are people who do want that, and that's perfectly fine if they do, but I don't want that. And that doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me to do a 9-to-5 because, like, how am I going to do that? How am I going to be the same person in the morning and be the same person in the afternoon? Like, the amount of shifting that I go through on a daily basis of just identities and thoughts and feelings, it's just, it's insane. It's crazy. And I'm crazy. That's one of the fundamental things about me, is that I am a crazy person. And what am I going to do? Am I going to hide that? Like, I can't. I literally cannot. So it's very hard to deal with this self-doubt. And I feel like when I start to feel it coming into my head, when I can start to feel myself kind of spiraling, which is a term I've used for a very long time, it feels almost like I'm on this roller coaster or I'm falling down this rabbit hole. Side note, I actually got one of my older tattoos that I got after my son was born was an image of the rabbit from Alice in Wonderland, because spiraling was something that I used to do so much more often, and I'm so happy I don't do it as much. But it was like, it was hell, because it would start from one thought of, I should be doing this, and then it would turn into, but I can't, and then it would be, why can't I, and then it would just be like just an endless just downward spiral of just feelings and emotions and thoughts and feeling overwhelmed and feeling my body get overwhelmed and feeling my head get overwhelmed and then feeling like I have nothing else that I can possibly offer this world, and then just like suicidal ideation comes in, and then you're just like stuck in this gloom in the bottom of this pit that you put yourself in. And that's, I think, the hardest part of all, is that we struggle with so much, and unfortunately a lot of people want to take on that responsibility and want to believe that they are the cause of it, when fundamentally it is our heads. And it is because our heads had to develop in this way. These are coping mechanisms to what we had to learn to survive in the trauma and neglect or abuse that we were experiencing as children. And it's really hard to grow out of that, because if you know anything about child development, we learn these things. We learn how to interact with the world when we are children. Like, I have huge blocks of time in my childhood that I don't remember. And it is almost a direct link to borderline personality, because I can remember playing make-believe and I can remember being alone, but I can't remember any, like, friends or people that I cared about or anything I did. Like, I don't remember any of that. I just remember all the make-believe that I used to do and all the feelings of loneliness. And when I feel those feelings of loneliness now, my first kind of reaction is to try to run. And I hate saying that, because like I know I shouldn't, but like it's what feels most natural. And I think that's the thing about doing this podcast and about really just healing from your mental illness. I don't think, and I'm gonna say this now and I will forever stand by it, you cannot recover from borderline personality. If somebody is telling you that you can recover, that's a lie. You cannot recover from a personality disorder. It does get easier to manage. I will admit that, because who I am now compared to when I first got diagnosed is a completely different person. Who I am now compared to who I was this morning is a completely different person. So you learn how to manage it, but you do not recover. And anybody who's telling you that, or who's positioning borderline personality as that, is just not being truthful. Because you don't recover from personality disorder. It is part of you. And I think that's the biggest kind of lesson that we need to learn as people who live this existence, who continue to exist in a world that just fundamentally doesn't work for us. We are allowed to exist this way, and it is not our fault. And our parents might be at fault. I don't know about you, like, our parents might be at fault. I know that a lot of my issues stem from my relationship to my mom when I was a kid, my relationship to my dad when I was a kid, how lonely I felt as a kid and nobody realized it. But I don't blame them, because they're also, they have their own things going on. I know this. I know that my dad has a lot going on, and I know that my mom has a lot going on. So I can't blame them, because they were messed up people too. And that's where I think it's one of the hardest things to deal with, because you sit there and you start to, I don't know, we want to have everything neatly packaged, right? And we want to be able to say, like, I am still me, I just have borderline personality. And it's like, but who are you? Do you even know? Because I still don't know. And I still struggle every day. Every day with dissociation and feeling uncomfortable and feeling like I'm not sure who I am. But I think that there's a lot that we can do to kind of combat that. So when I start to feel myself kind of spiraling and beginning to, you know, get lost in my thoughts, I have to remind myself that, like, it's okay to be me. And that's the only thing I can ever be. Can't be anyone else. No matter how much I might wish I could, no matter how much I might compare myself, I literally can't. And fundamentally, I don't want to because it's too much work. It's too much work to be somebody else, you know? I think it's important for us to acknowledge that if you're trying to be somebody else, if you're trying to look like somebody else, if you're trying to you know, experience the world as somebody else does, you're just doing a disservice to who you are because you are this way. And this is the way you have developed. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being depressed, with being anxious, with being emotional, with experiencing the full spectrum of humanity. There's nothing wrong with that. It's hard, yes, but you are not alone, and none of us are, and we are all just trying our gosh darn best. And I'm not perfect. No one is. And I get very scared talking sometimes because I feel like people, I don't know, I feel like I put this expectation on myself that I'm supposed to be a certain way, and like, I don't know how to be that. I only know how to be this person. And I hope that you can understand that. I hope that it helps somehow to hear that, you know, we all struggle. And I hope you know that it's not ever going to be storybook perfect. Like, no one is. All we can do is learn how to be better. And, you know, we make mistakes and we do wrong things. And sometimes we hurt ourselves and we hurt other people that we love, and we just have to admit that we did that, and we have to take accountability and responsibility for ourselves. And sometimes we just have to be willing to accept and to learn how to be more accepting of ourselves. Not 100% sure what this episode's about. I'm just gonna leave this in. But yeah. As always, reach out if you want to talk on Instagram. I'm over there constantly going through my existential crisis. Feel free to come visit. I don't know. I send you love, and I hope you know that you are who you are. Bye.